Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions expressed do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 419-528-TDRK to leave a voicemail, and we just may play it on the show.
You know what happens every time? Man, the best jokes are pulled from real life. Speaking of, we were leaving a bowling alley a couple days ago, and somehow the topic of melancholy came up, and you said that's a weird shape for a dog.
But don't.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
So, Chris, we could ask what episode this is, but we know what episode this is.
I actually don't.
It is a momentous occasion.
I unsubscribed, so I got to go to duck feed.
I don't.
Episode number 100.
Yes, episode 100 of this program.
Sometimes funny comedy podcast. Those Damn Ross Kids.
It's a time for reflection. It's a time for really self-evisceration.
Will you be playing yourself in this show?
I will be playing me.
Which is?
Cole Ross. Okay. And who will you be playing the part of?
Lucille Ball.
Can you give me a Ricky?
We are brothers. That's disgusting. It's New Year's Eve.
It is, as we record this. And as you listen to this, it is New Year's Day.
And the time is right.
It is currently 5:43 in the evening. If you're curious,
sure.
I'm not.
It's early.
It is early. Early for us.
But, early. Messing up my routine.
Messing up your game.
I just started drinking at work.
Oh, you had to pregame it.
I had pregamed. I pre-worked it.
You pre-worked it.
I pre-worked my dinner.
Yep.
So if they're listening to this tomorrow, which is technically New Year's Day.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll know the answer to this question and when we check back in with Timothy. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to ask you at the risk of doing something that's been played.
Can I ask you a quick question first?
What?
Who's Timothy?
Timothy's a guy who needs some help.
Okay.
Burning questions.
Burning man.
Burning desires. Hi. I'm a 20-something dude who likes other dudes. There's one in particular that I like a whole bunch, and we fool around, and it's generally awesome and fun. I feel really comfortable and safe with him, so I'm thinking I want to do butt-related stuff with him this coming New Year's Eve.
Okay.
Should I bring it up now and see if he's at all interested, but forego any sexy spur-of-the-moment, champagne-infused suggestion when we're hopefully already naked? Or should I wait and surprise him with the idea of butt stuff?
You never surprise somebody with butt stuff.
That's the best. I mean, it's in terms of satisfaction for me, that is not the best surprise. In terms of surprising me,
yeah,
that is the best. I mean, if you were trying to surprise me the most,
if you're just trying to take away all speech,
yeah. So I need you to, because I'm going to say this, and I need context. So do not edit me. Butt sex would be the best surprise for me.
The most surprising. Best, Chris, when you say best, you get into quality issues.
You see, that's what I, okay, so I say that would be the biggest surprise.
The most potent surprise.
I don't, well, either way.
I guess I did, yeah. In the platonic sense, this would be the best surprise.
I'd fuck up our friendship.
I don't think you, like that. Platonic butt stuff, yeah.
Looking for
strictly platonic Craigslist, strictly platonic Cincinnati, Ohio. Stuff. Looking for friends only butt stuff.
Friends only.
W for T. What? But it's. Oh man, you know this. Here's the thing. I'm not a spontaneous lover.
No,
I don't see the value in that. You know, if there's, if there, like, it, You have to think of how much trust and capital you have, Timothy, right? You say, hey, I feel comfortable and safe around him. We need more context, right? Like,
sure.
You know, are you thinking of giving the butt stuff or taking the butt stuff? In that sense, how do you surprise somebody by saying, I would like to be the recipient of butt stuff? By the way, I'm very proud of how clean we've kept this discussion of butt stuff, to be entirely honest with you. So let's keep that going we can.
So you're asking me not to one-up you?
Kind of.
Okay. Well, see, here's the thing is that when you don't...
You see, here's the thing.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. You're not antagonizing me to do so. You're not escalating it. See, you ask for what I give you. Which brings me to butt stuff.
Okay. I was gonna say
I'm just kidding. I'm done. That's
okay. So I guess my the advice to Timothy, you know, he didn't solicit this from us, but as the Rolling Stones said, you can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, a podcast will give you advice about butt stuff. You know, let's just have a conversation like a grown ass adult, right?
Yeah.
You know, just if you want butt stuff, ask for butt stuff. That's really all that you have to do.
Sure.
It's not funny.
I have another one on the same theme. Can I do it too?
Is this the butt stuff hour?
Mm-hmm.
The Ross family butt stuff hour. Okay.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that sometimes you find what you're looking for in weird places, and I think Caroline has looked to the right place.
Up a butt.
She says she's a cisgendered bisexual female in her 20s.
Okay.
She says, I've had sex with one guy and I've had sex with one girl so far in my life, but I'm wondering if I should just stick with girls. You see, when I have sex, I like to pretend I'm a guy. I like the feeling of being the dominant one that takes care of the other partner. My favorite position when the guy I slept with was when he was underneath me face down and me giving him anal sex like two gay dudes. I know I'm not transgendered, but I also know that I don't enjoy when a guy is going into me. It doesn't hurt. I just think it's boring. But how possible do you think it is to find a dude who wouldn't mind getting fucked up the ass but wouldn't be able to fuck me because I wouldn't want him to? Do you think that that's too rigid of a requirement?
No, not at all. You know, she like, it's not a question of gender or whatever. You know, all sex is about power, right? So if you're out there looking for a sub dude, like, that's all, like, again, be an adult. That really is all that matters. You know, second off, Chris, I want you to tell me, am I off base on this? Like one lady and one dude, that's a really, really small sample size to, you know, to make that decision, right? Let alone there are sure. people who recognize their sexual orientation without even having had any experience with that, etc. But if you're on the fence, making the call after one of each, you know.
It's like you deciding you want to live on a roller coaster.
Yeah, exactly. I'm out of Charlie's. I like the pepper jack, the pepper mozzarella cheese triangles that they got, you know. But I dig the potato skins too. After one of each, you know, that will determine the rest of my diet for life. Also, butt stuff on a dude.
Yeah, you know, yeah. like as dudes do.
As you do.
As you do when you're a dude.
As you do. Ah, man, this is good. I hope that we can help people, Chris. I hope that our advice, you know, our incredibly respectful, insightful advice can get people through some harsh times. The new year, for some reason, brings about people trying to bring about a new leaf in their lives. You know, there are people out there who mistakenly think that their lives can ever get any better. We would like to disavow them of that knowledge. And, you know, to provide the most sensible, sane path through towards their, you know, an inevitable demise. You know, we exist as comedy entertainment most of the time anyway. And, you know, that really, you know, to quote Akewood, that's just a momentary diversion on the road to the grave. Right. But if we can edify people by saying nothing matters, then I think we can really hasten the whole process. Am I wrong?
No, I agree.
Okay, cool. Oh, man. Chris, do you worry about things?
Mostly.
Okay. Would you say
that almost everything? That's the best answer I have. That I'm yes.
Yes. Would you say that you're indecisive?
Sometimes it depends on what it is.
Okay, cool. Would you call yourself neurotic?
Mostly.
Okay, cool. Me too. I'm a neurotic dude. You know, to quote our good friend John Roderick, you know, you do things to keep the demon dogs away.
I thought it was the devil dogs.
Demon dogs, devil dogs. They use them interchangeably. Demons and devils, they're different in Dungeons and Dragons, but for the common vernacular, they're mostly the same. So anyway, there's good news though. So for the constant angst that we live our lives in, you know, worrying about this or that, there are health upsides for so-called conscientious neurotics, people who plan ahead, you know, make lists, you know, try to exercise self-control. Just people who, you know, recognize the framework that their neuroticism demands. Is that making sense? Would you say you are a conscientious neurotic?
Likely.
Likely. Okay.
I'm a functioning neurotic.
Yeah, a functioning neurotic. Exactly. So, yeah, people of this type, they experience lower levels of interleukin-6 or IL-6, which is a biomarker for inflammation and chronic disease. So there's all kinds of benefits to that, you know, lower risks of inflammation, heart disease, stroke, arthritis, diabetes, all of these kind of things. There's a correlation, it seems, between healthy neuroticism and generally healthier being. So at least we got that going for us. It's a house of cards to keep myself, you know, functioning and upright. You know, it involves a lot of nervous poops and a lot of index cards, but I get there.
I half read a quarter of an article that the world needed psychopaths to function, because if somebody pulled them out, like, it would all collapse.
There was a great This American Life about psychopathy.
Yeah. How, like, some of the most successful people in the world are psychopaths.
It's like it's necessary. There's like 11% of the 11% of the people would respond or, you know, level themselves as some kind of psychopath, like, according to the test that's out there. And that test is really weird because it's culturally biased and it keeps people in prison for longer, etc. But yeah, CEOs and, you know, thought leaders and things like that, outliers, as Malcolm Gladwell would say, they tend to be fucking psychotic.
Sure.
Yeah. Sociopaths, who knows? I think it's like a square rhombus kind of situation.
Sure. Yeah. What is the test?
I forget. I think it's just the psychopath test.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was going to look it up. I mean, if I was giving the test, it would be like, here's a human head, cut out the eyes. For money.
You can make a nice bowling ball out of that. You can make a candlestick holder. You know, we call Killer it the satanic menorah. It's a miracle really you haven't been found yet.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a fact. It's not fun, but I wanted to just let people know this.
Nothing has been fun so far.
It's school shooting corner.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's school
this isn't
shooting.
This isn't going to be funny, it's not supposed to be.
School shooting corner, Chris. School shooting life. Like we as a race and as a people, we've like so done fucked up that everything is just topping itself to where nothing is like shocking anymore. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if this turned out to be funny. And I'm normally the sensitive one. Continue.
Okay. It's just important to know as we debate what to do about our world, given that the studies have indicated we need psychopaths, and how whenever anything happens, it's like, you know, we're middle school children who are finding out about hearing a rumor. No way. And then it just blows up and something has to be done. Lynch them, you know? I mean, it's just like that way. It's important to remember that in 1927, an eccentric farmer named Andrew Kehoe was upset about the increase in property taxes that were to pay for a new school in his community. He spent months packing the school after hours, packing it with dynamite, which he set off the morning of May 18th, 1927, with a timed detonator that killed 45 children and teachers.
Christ on a fucking crutch, man.
He then returned to the scene after he had detonated the explosives, drove to the site, and blew himself up, taking several lives of those who were responding to the scene, so like cops and all that other shit, killing them in the process. So that's 1927.
Right.
And that's not a gun involved. But, you know what I mean? So just bear that in mind as you react.
as you try and formulate a course to try and cope with
As you try to solve the unsolvable with a solution. With your solution.
With your particular solution.
Sure.
Chris, like not everybody like uses that as a way to like hurt people, though. You know, for some people, just the act of firing a gun, it relieves their stress, right? Just it's cathartic.
That's what they say.
You get this thing that is designed to take a human life or to take any kind of life, mostly human, especially in the case of handguns. But let's continue. And you know, it's metal and it's cold, and you are harnessing the elements with the slightest twitch of a muscle. You are creating a controlled explosion that launches a tiny little thing at enough velocity to destroy whatever you want to. And in fact, it becomes a part of you. And whatever you point at, it's life or death is your decision, right? It's a thing. It's a sexy, erotic act as you take this metal surrogate penis and then just go out and, you know, fire off a couple of rounds. For example, Marcus Garola.
Marcus the gorilla had a problem.
Marcus the gorilla had a gun problem.
Is it story time?
They took away. Marcus wanted all the bananas, but the zookeepers said he could only have one or two bananas per day. Thinking, bitch, you don't know me. He decided. Anyway, no, Marcus Garola, he went to a Newport Beach, California shopping center kind of area and took out a pistol and just fired 50 rounds into the air.
At a supermarket?
Just in the parking lot. Just fucking unloaded.
Is he Muslim? They do that.
No, he...
But no, that's not no.
No,
that's,
no. They, yeah, yeah. I know what you mean.
I'm not going Iron Sheik. It's just
okay. That dude was a piece of shit. Like in real life, did you know that?
Was he really? No, I had no idea.
Like, he wasn't like Benoit levels of awful. But yeah,
Chris Benoit.
Yeah, the dude who wore a
who
bra.
Who are you? Who's this boy I'm talking to? That knows about wrestling.
Well, I know about him because he wore a bra and like killed his kid and his wife and then hung himself.
Oh, that's right. Adderall.
Yeah. No, he was upset because his grandma died and his family kicked him out.
He caught his kid in the coat and smacked it with a hammer.
Jesus Christ.
That's what he did. Well, I mean, not the coat, I think. The hammer part, for sure.
There are people in this world who think that Chris Benoit, like, that was a conspiracy. Like, that he couldn't have possibly done that.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So this dude, you know, the police came. He was upset because his grandma died and his family kicked him out of his house. So he just went to relieve stress, really, in the only way that he knew how. Some people, the only language they speak is boom, boom, pow, like the Black Eyed Peas. So the police were like, dude, you know you can't do this, right? He's like, yeah. And they said, we're going to have to search your car. You know that, right? It's like, all I've got in there is a bunch more ammunition. Oh, and watch out. There's a wire there that'll probably shock you. So they brought in the bomb squad, said one witness, a shopper at the shopping center. Pretty much the craziest thing I've ever heard. How anybody could do that to scare people with everything going on in this world. Who needs guys like that? Apparently the world does with the psychopaths.
They're required.
It's part, you know, death is a part of any given ecosystem. So is poison. So is just all these awful things, you know, just the Hakuna Matata, the circle of life.
Sure. Yeah. Hey, Cole, what's your favorite pretending to be someone else movie?
Oh, man, it's really, really tough to like discount Catch Me If You Can. That's
well,
a
and good see, that's movie. What I was going to say. What's your favorite not being yourself movie that stars Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hanks?
Catch me. You're like, they're basically the same thing. Like, what's the best, like, you know, imposter movie? What is that? That's the only one. Trading Places. That's pretty good.
Yeah, but that was a bet.
It, kind of, but still, they were being something that they weren't. 6 Degrees of Separation. Yeah, that was a pretty good movie with Will Smith.
I've never seen that. I don't like math.
No, that's Pursuit of Happiness.
Oh, that's right. He lived in the car with Will Smith's kid.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, Will Smith played in a movie, the guy who kidnapped his own son. His son played himself. It was crazy.
By begging the question, why didn't he take him home after they were done? Will Smith's bad guy. Bad
still
dad.
Out there. He's a bad, bad dude.
Big Willie style don't involve changing diapers.
Oh, man, you don't do that. Oh man, what is it? There's tons of like noirs that are about that. What was it?
Sure. Dracars.
Yeah, Dracar noir, you know. You take somebody else's scent to fool a blind person.
Yeah, basically.
What was it? Rear Window? Did that have that? I forget. It's been a long time since I've seen that. Hitchcock
loved
it. I don't
remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. That's the one.
Sorry.
But anyway, the police in Newtown, Connecticut, again, school shooting corner.
Jesus
they,
Christ.
Sorry. Well, you know, it is what it is. They have arrested a convicted felon who apparently drove to Newtown, Connecticut and fed false information as he posed as Adam Lanza's uncle.
Oh, man.
This 35-year-old man was on probation for conspiracy and wire fraud when he showed up in Newtown saying he was the nephew, or no, that Lanza was his nephew, and that he was taking the antipsychotic drug Fanapt to treat schizophrenia. The guy's name is Jonathan Lee Riches.
Oh, God, this guy.
He even felt one need to pray for Lanza's victims while photographers captured the moment. He is no stranger to weird cons. He holds the Guinness World Record for the most litigious.
Yes.
Yes, that's how you say that. He has sued various celebrities under other people's names or an alias, including Kim Kardashian and Kanye West for alleged ties to Al-Qaeda, and Justin Bieber for stealing Selena Gomez's credit card to buy a penis enlargement. He was also behind a lawsuit under the name of Kevin Federline's brother, incidentally Christopher Federline, claiming paternity of Britney Spears' first son. Police nabbed him for violating his 5-year federal probation and barred him from leaving Pennsylvania. That's a sentence right there. Excuse me.
You can't leave Pennsylvania.
You can't leave Pennsylvania.
No, that dude's awesome. He's great.
He's the real deal.
His entire life has been in this art project to you know, call attention to how absurd our court system is. Yeah, it's
you call it a court.
Yeah, you know, you call this a court. He sued Jonathan and Seth from yeah, dude.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
It was early on.
It was in the 200s or so. You mentioned the Kardashian one and the two hosts of that podcast, which is a really good podcast. They were named as suspects in the suit as co-conspirators for I believe it was because the Kardashians were trying to like steal, like break into his documents or something like that.
Is he just bored, or is this a thing?
I think that he likes the attention.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's kind of like Fred Phelps in that regard. You know, the God Hates Fags guy, and you know, just shows up wherever the Westboro Baptist Church, how they picket, you know, the funerals of, or, you know, Iraqi vets and things like that.
Oh, gotcha. God said it. It's in the Bible. If you dunk your Bible in lemon juice.
Exactly. Every single copy. It's so weird.
It's a secret message from God, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. You have to
and then heed it.
Yeah, that's what most people don't realize. Also, urine works, which is funny. Yeah, Jonathan Lee Riches. He's the real deal. I'm surprised you didn't get more than that. But, you know.
You got to read between the piss-soaked lines.
Oh, man. Yeah, speaking of things that are full of shit, that's not charitable. You know, Jonathan Lee, he's not full of shit. He kind of is, but he kind of isn't. Don't sue us, please. I can't afford that, please. So this chick, she's riding the Chicago Transit Authority's Blue Line, you know, just going, coming home from work. And some dude walks up behind her with a sock full of human feces and hits her with it repeatedly until she's covered with human sock feces. Then he flees.
Shit sock.
Shit sock. That sounds
that's
like
been,
a,
that's
like,
played.
What's that?
That's played.
Yeah, it's a little bit, you know, it's just, well, why would anybody leave their house? Like, to go onto a place, like, with people, because you're riding in a shit tube with people who are going to hit you with shit socks. Like, this dude gets away. You know, she says, it was the biggest degradation I've ever experienced. I wish that he had just hit me. That's, like, the worst. Like, I would look for somebody to kill me if that happened.
Really?
Yeah. Like, if somebody hit me with a shit sock, like, I would just say, like, end it, please. I will get off at the next stop. There's, like, it just there's no bottom from here. Like, it's only down.
For humanity or that lady?
Just in general, for both. Okay.
Well, I didn't,
like,
know.
It's a dark door that's open when you're hit with a shit sock, okay? It's a dark door. It's a dark door. What would you do?
What would I do if I got hit with a shit sock?
Yeah.
Or what did I do? Or what
did you do as you were fleeing this woman?
No, I would, I don't know. I would say something like, what? And then I would look at the camera and shake my head and just and shrug my shoulders and say, rascals.
Burp, 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 burp. Credits.
But
roll.
I would take two fingers, my index and my middle finger on each hand, and I would use them to scrape from my nose out to the outsides of my eyes. so that I could look at the camera.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I would take it, and I would take my fingers. I would take the first three fingers on every hand, and then just make a line from my nose outward toward my ears, and I make myself a shit cat.
A shit cat.
Yeah. And then I would start prowling around because my mind would be broken at that point.
I don't know. Cole just turned into a nice kitty.
Yeah, just shit cat, just kind of like rubbing up on people, just vomiting everywhere. Oh man, said the woman, the worst part is nobody had anything to wipe my face with. They really aren't prepared for a situation like
wipe it with a sidewalk. It's less shitty than your face.
Exactly. Right now your face is the filthiest thing in the room.
Stop, drop, and sanitize.
Yeah. Oh god. Can we drop a forever unclean here?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, she didn't have any respite from this until the paramedics arrived and gave her towels and water.
That's a show about football and a wrestling reference for you tonight.
I know, right?
On this occasion,
Chris, I'm growing as a person. I'm referencing the league, which is a good show. Thank you. And I'm also, yeah. What was it? Owen Hart? He fell from the rafters.
Yeah,
snapped his neck. Yeah,
sure. It's just too bad that I have to drive 3 hours and get you so inebriated you can't move to make you watch a new show. That's the sad part.
You have to Clockwork Orange me with rum.
Oh, by the way, guess what we're doing tomorrow? Mad Men.
I got you to watch that show.
And then you dipped out.
I dipped out. But, like, you do that to me all the time with music, man.
No. It's been a long time since I've identified your potential new favorite band.
Yeah, yeah. It's been about about 7 years. Okay.
Sure. Yeah, it's been a bit. I'm not a good scout.
It's been a minute. You got me into the Mountain Goats. You, like,
sure.
Like, that was a time bomb. You put it there. It's like, yeah, it's a good song. Then I came back to you. I was like, oh, they're great. I love this shit.
And you got me into Goatsy.
It's your cell phone background. Oh man.
Like forever unclean.
Yeah, so she says, I don't know why he did it, adding, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have done that to a guy. So there's like a whole class of people. Let's call them prowlers, because I haven't heard that word. Have you heard anybody referenced as a peeping Tom recently?
No.
I thought that was like a creation of like 60s sitcoms, you know? Peeping Tom, somebody in a trench
coat. They haven't had any of those since then, because peeping Toms, they I don't know, I don't know whether they unified or they somehow were empowered.
I'm part of the Voyeurs Union, chapter 345.
Well, sure, but at some point they stopped thinking about it and actually did it. And ever since they did it, they don't have to fucking sit outside and think about it anymore.
Well, I mean, you have.
So we don't have peeping Toms anymore. We have rapists.
Jesus.
I'm just committed. They went full hog. It's just the way it is.
It's just the way the world works, Cole.
It's just the way the world is. You see that movie where they turn to color after they bone? Futurama or Hefty World? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Futurama. Starring Jeff Daniels and Tobey Maguire.
That's the one.
Yeah.
What's that show called?
That show?
Yeah, the movie.
Pleasantville. Movie. Pleasantville.
Pleasantville, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. That Don Knotts. Don Knotts was like the he was the Satan figure who like
lured... He was the cartoon fish. Don Knotts was the cartoon fish in Pleasantville.
Don Knotts reprising his role from
As Janine Garofalo
in A Fish Called Wanda. Was that that movie?
No, it wasn't. This was The Incredible Mr. Limpet.
Ah, fuck.
Sure.
Man. And that had nothing to do with Gilbert Grape?
No, it had a lot of teabagging and some flaccid whacking.
The flaccid whacking?
Yeah.
Where did the Goonies fit in?
I don't know.
Yeah, no, but there's like a whole class of like public sex crimes that just have to do with delivering bodily fluids onto a lady.
Goonies.
Like
the truffle shuffle. A woman can juggle desserts with her labia.
Jesus.
That's the truffle shuffle.
Yep.
Sets on a cart and they bring her out at the restaurant. Would anybody like to see the dessert tray?
Well, oh, God.
Who wants to see the dessert show?
It's like Benihana, except with... I don't even know. But you like you know about sharking, right?
What?
No, sharking. It's where you.
Yeah, Tracy Jordan explained this to me. But go ahead.
Did he?
You come up and rip somebody's shirt off? Yeah, it was on 30 Rock.
No, you don't rip somebody's shirt off. You find a secluded place to crank it. You get about half cranked, and then you walk out into public onto a sexy lady, and then you just unleash the fury. You unleash the beast all over a lady, by which I mean half masturbate and then finish masturbating on her, and then run away. Yeah. Also, like putting semen into a spray bottle with some water and spraying a lady. Pretty much, it's all stealth semen delivery.
Should you talk about whether they're into sharking, or should you just surprise them?
I think by definition, it's not sharking if they're expecting it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So is premeditation required in that if you just happen to be standing in an alley and your semen somehow shoots out onto the sidewalk and accidentally sharks a lady, can you still call it sharking?
Yes, you can.
You want just, that in slow motion?
Just if you accidentally, I would say if you come on a lady in public at a grocery store and she doesn't expect it, that's sharking. Doesn't matter.
Gotcha.
It doesn't matter intent on your part.
Intent does not. No.
Okay. No. Intent doesn't factor in.
Does not.
It doesn't factor in.
Gotcha. Can I tell you about a new website?
I would love to know about websites. Can I add it to my favorites, Chris?
Yeah, you can.
To my bookmarks. Can I share it on my AOL keyword user group?
The website's called potentialprostitutes.com. It's a new website that posts the photos, locations, and phone numbers of women who it deems might be sex workers.
Okay.
Many of the pics appear to be mugshots, which would suggest that at least some of the women featured on the site have been arrested in the past for prostitution. But if you're an extra special douchebag, as the article reads, you can submit random people for inclusion on potentialprostitutes.com. A huge delete this profile now button appears at the bottom of each page, and in order to get your name cleared, you have to pay a hefty fee to the website to get your name off of potentialprostitutes.com.
Wait, you have to pay a fee?
The woman, if she wants her name off of there,
so
has to pay a fee to the website to get off.
So her reputation is being held ransom.
Essentially, yeah. I mean, assuming she's not a sex worker, otherwise it's free advertisement.
You know, it's a gamble we should all be willing to take.
You
never know. Maybe she had never considered that her life might go in that direction.
It's a sign from the heavens.
I know, right? Just kind of you're walking along and you pull out your information phone and you see an email saying, "Hey, I would like to pay you, you know, to use your natural talents," and like, yes, everything comes together now. Everyone comes together now.
Everyone comes together in this
right
shit
now
stuff.
Over me.
Boom, 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 boom.
But yeah, that's so that's funny, because most of what the internet is digital representations of things that exist in the real world, right? Craigslist. It's the classified ads from your local paper, right? Facebook. You know, there were college Facebooks in the world that helped you like identify people who were you know, potential peers, you know, as a collection of peers.
Sure.
And this is the digital approximation of the writing on the bathroom wall. Like they could call this potential sex workers, but really it should be called for a good time.
For a good time call.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Hmm.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Do you know who the most popular, you know, lady is?
Lady Gaga.
Roxanne.
That's funny.
It is.
Yeah, you should do a police joke here.
Something tantric.
I don't even know about that.
Took it meta.
What about a dating website for people who are into wrestling called Pin This?
Or just Pinterest.co
or know. Whatever. Yeah. Pin yeah. This.
I, you know, I think that there is a wrestling centric dating site. It's probably an offshoot of some kind of, let's say, message board, you know, like
sure.
Benoit didn't do it. Benoit was framed, you know,
do you know where that idea came from?
Where?
Because I really hate Pinterest and people who talk about it.
Do you encounter that in your day-to-day life?
Oh, of course. Everyone's on Pinterest.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone. Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't get it, and I don't encounter it all that often.
I don't plan on getting it. And what I was thinking of was what I want to do to people who were on that. And I was thinking about pinning.
I would like to lacquer and decoupage them.
Well, yeah, exactly, right? I was just thinking about how when you dissect something and you pin back its parts,
mm-hmm.
and it got gorier from there.
Yeah, the world needs psychopaths, Chris.
I want to poke their insides and not in like the good way, you know?
not in the mutually enjoyable.
Yeah, yeah. And like the you'll never remember this, not that you'll remember this forever.
Right, kind of right. Way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh, man, I feel unclean. I'm so sorry. I can't.
It's okay.
I can't
okay.
go. I can't go along with you for that ride. Okay, I can't.
Which one? That one. Yeah.
The pin me.
Problem. Pin this.
Pin this. Pin this open.
Pin this.
Chris, last week, it was Christmas.
Or I'd pin that.
I'd pin.
Last week, we talked about the end of the world, and that is, you know, really just kind of died down.
Come and gone.
I was hoping for more, like, fanfare with that. Like, you know, sure. Like, you know, the Hillbop comet got the Heaven's Gate. Like, I don't want people to die, but that is, like, those are interesting stories to
like
me.
Like a ticker tape air raid, nuclear air raid.
Exactly. Yeah. But apparently, and this is something that surprised me until I read this article. Did you know that the Mayan apocalypse is huge in China?
Well, sure it is.
It was huge. You know, the majority of the public over there looked at it, you know, with derision, kind of like us, you know, over here. They're just like us. They're people too.
Sure. What is that? Is that where they like graphically cut in half a blimp to show you what's inside?
What?
Derision.
God, you're fucked. All right. No. But here's the thing. For as many people who look at it with derision, apparently 20% of China's population believed that the Mayan calendar apocalypse was a thing that would exist, whereas globally, only 14% saw it as a thing. It's still a lot. And like, we're not doing too good either, because the United States had 22% and Turkey had 22% as well. So we're dumb, I think. Yeah.
If the Mayans were so smart, where are they at?
they ran out of corn is the thing. Like, they overfarmed is my understanding of their civilization's demise.
No, they had the step farms, and they turned the eagles with the snakes in the swamp, right?
The Mayans were down south of that.
Like, really?
You're thinking of the Aztecs, which were more in Mexico proper. The Mayans
in Teotihuacan.
Yes. Exactly. Gotcha. The Mayans were more in northern South America. Yeah.
Northern. Okay. So like in Colombia.
In Colombia and Peru.
Or yes. Panama.
Panama. A panoply of Panamanians. Yes.
Panama.
And here's my favorite part, because this is pretty badass. Apparently, there is a cult in China called Almighty God, which is called for a decisive battle to slay the big red dragon, which is a reference to the Book of Revelation and the organization's name for the Chinese Communist Party. As many as 1,000 members were arrested prior to the Mayan New Year, or the, you know, the Mayan apocalypse or whatever, because they were using that as a way to, you know, as like their date for when they were going to try and, you know. But their members, they claim they have 300,000 adherents called Lightning from the East. Tell me, is that not the best thing? They claim that Jesus returned to the earth in the form of a 30-year-old Chinese woman who wrote a third testament of the Bible and promised salvation from the coming apocalypse. Like that stuff really fascinates me, like the cult stuff and the crazy alternative, you know, Christianity. Like if I wasn't, you know, so goddamn smart and had my shit together so well, I could see myself being like, badass, I'm Lightning from the East. Let's go for it.
Well, you are smart, so start the movement.
God.
Right?
Oh man. I would rather be a cult leader than a cult follower. You get more sex.
Good God.
Got anything else?
Yeah, I do. And it reminded me of your weird brand of loneliness.
Lonely? Who's lonely?
I don't know.
I'm perfectly happy. I'll finish my coffee.
I'm sure you will. Scotland Yard has concluded that an MI6 codebreaker named Gareth?
Oh, Gareth, Williams, like from sure. from the Gareth. British office. Yeah.
Yeah, Gareth like Algar. The type of leaf. That he probably locked himself inside the duffel bag he was found dead in.
Okay.
Police had reopened the case after the coroner ruled that a third party had likely been involved, possibly even one of Williams' Security Service colleagues. But after taking DNA samples and re-interviewing all MI6 employees, the detectives had been unable to find any trace of anyone who should not have been in the flat. During this investigation, two experts told the jury that Houdini himself would have struggled to lock himself inside the sports bag and trying to trick in vain themselves 400 times. But after those proceedings, a retired Army sergeant came forward demonstrating how it could be done, and police detectives were able to repeat his process. Investigators now believe that the incident was likely an autoerotic event gone wrong, a possibility the coroner rejected. An unofficial police spokesman, however, says detectives are still pursuing a number of lines of inquiry. Now, claustrophobia as a form of, autoerotic activities.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
like
what that,
it's almost the, it's like a return to the womb, right? Like you want to be locked in as much as you can.
I don't know. I've never heard of it before, which is why we're talking.
Why would it be autoerotic? Was there evidence that it was a sexual thing?
I don't know. Apparently it is a thing. Well, he was in the bathtub when he. I mean the duffel bag.
Everything I forgot. Everything I do in the bathtub is erotic.
Well, sure. Your hands down by your junk, I assume, unless you're washing your hair.
What if you're trying to break in some jeans? You know,
like, the sprinkler and the lawn's for.
as you dance around to relax the denim, I don't know.
Shirtless, splashing around in the sprinkler.
Yeah,
just like 7:30 on a summer evening in front of the kids.
Middle of January, the PCP making it so you can't easily be tased.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I was going to say it sounds like an open and shut case, but it's mostly just shut.
Yeah, it was a North Face bag, by the way.
Free publicity.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
Hey, Cole, what can they do?
Well, the biggest thing that you can do is go to iTunes. If you're not of the iTunes persuasion, you can sit this one out for a second. But consider doing it. Leave us a rating or a review. That really, really helps. If you would like to support the network, you can go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar. Use the Amazon link there and go there. Buy whatever you're going to buy. It is, you know, post-holidays. You got some gift cards. Burning a hole in them pockets. And, you know, we get a little cut of that, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. That has gone a long way towards making it so that we can run this network, not at a loss, which is a huge, huge deal over the past year. So thank you so much for everybody who has been using that. And if you are considering doing that, you're using Amazon anyway. You're a human in this world. Other than that, you can go to the website, find more episodes of the show. Every single episode is up there and available for download if you want to dip back in and keep on tuning in to this show and all of the other shows. We've got lots of shows about video games, including one new one that's coming out here in the middle of January called Bonfire Side Chat, which is a games podcast that is dedicated to the game Dark Souls and other games that are by that developer. So we really appreciate your continued interest in our endeavors. Is there anything I missed, Chris?
No, you got it, except for you failed to mention this podcast. But anyway.
You're so fucking jealous. I love it. Anyway, good night.
Night.